Let's go to Psalm 40. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Psalm 40 and verse 1. Let's speak it together. I waited patiently for the Lord. In other words, that word patient means to endure. You endured. You pressed through. Didn't mean you were sitting there twiddling your thumbs.
I waited patiently for the Lord. Where are you?
No, that's not what happens. It means you pressed in. You endured. And he what? And he inclined to me. And he what? Heard my cry. He also brought me out of a what? Horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. And set my feet upon a rock. And established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear. And will trust in the Lord. What's he want to do? He wants to make you a sign and wonder. He said, listen, man, first of all, seek me. Endure. You know, it only takes one touch to change. That's all. One touch to change. That's why he says, come into my presence. Come into my presence. He draws us into his presence. Come on, when we were out in the world, we always sang those songs. Songs of lust. Songs of evil. Songs of despair. Songs of all the other things that brought stuff on us, because what you speak is what you eat, and what you eat is what you become. Amen? But see, he says, enter my presence with thanksgiving and praise. Why? Because he likes to be praised? Well, he'd rather see you changed. So he says, I waited patiently for, in other words, I endured. Man, I sought you. The Bible says, seek and you will find. So one of the things that God is trying to do is change us. Amen? He wants to change us. Now, listen, he's not going to exchange us for someone else. He's going to change us, and his purpose is to change us like him. The Father loved the Son. Amen? Everything that Jesus did for me and you was to please the Father. So every time you say Jesus, the Father looks at what Jesus did to grant you. When you say Jesus, he's not looking at you. He's looking at what Jesus did on the cross. He looks at the life of Christ in this realm, and what he's done to pay the price for me and you, he releases it to me and you. Not because there isn't anything that you and I could do. The only thing he asks for me and you is cooperation. Cooperation. Go to Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4. In verse 17. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Jesus comes out of the wilderness after he just overcame the enemy and his temptations. And it says in verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. In other words, they were ordinary men, just ordinary men, fishing, trying to make a living. And then he said to them, he walked up and he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you a fishers of men. In other words, he said, if you want ordinary, you can do that. But if you follow me, you'll be extraordinary. Is everybody with me? But there's something that he said. He said, follow me. That means you must cooperate. God wants to take an ordinary man and make him an extraordinary man and woman. Ordinary to extraordinary. Natural to supernatural. Is everybody okay? Let's go a little further. In verse 20, they what? Come on, is anybody there? They what? Immediately left their nets and did what? Followed him. Woohoo! Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets because they had to repair because they were still ordinary men. And he called them, and immediately they what? Left the boat and their father and what? Followed them. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Now listen, did those men change instantly? No, of course they didn't. That's all they made to do was made the choice to what? Follow. They didn't change instantly. They just made the choice to follow. You know what got them? Their curiosity. But that curiosity came from the Spirit of the living God, because he draws men. You know how he draws them? Curiosity. What's going on with this guy? Why am I going to even follow him? I don't even know who he is. But for some reason, I'm perplexed, but I'm impelled to follow. I want to follow. I haven't changed yet. I just made the choice to follow. See, it's in the process of following that we begin to change. Why? Because in the process of following, you begin to shed ordinary and put on extraordinary. Extraordinary as we follow. See, so many times people stop there. Oh, I accept Jesus. Then they don't follow no more. Then they wonder why they haven't changed or wonder why things aren't happening. Because they're still not. See, follow means to cooperate. It also means to believe. If you believe, you follow. Amen. So God is in the business of making what was ordinary extraordinary. That's what he does. Every one of us in here, that's his purpose. So that we be a sign and wonder to the world of what was ordinary to become extraordinary. Jesus started off as an ordinary child. He went to the synagogue. He did all of these things. He learned a trade. He became a carpenter. He was an ordinary child. Then a spirit came upon him and he became extraordinary. Oh, glory. But there's something he did. He cooperated. It says that he grew. He grew in the strength of the spirit. He grew. In other words, to grow means to change. So as he followed, he began to grow. He began to change. He got more wisdom. He began to, even though he was God, he still left his godness and came to the earth. He left his mantle, put on flesh, and came into the world. He became a man, so he knew exactly what man would go through in the temptations. And then he was restored. He came as an ordinary man, and he was restored when the anointing came on him. Then he became extraordinary. Oh, glory. That's what God, let me tell you, his touch changes a person that's ordinary to extraordinary. Just to come out of the world is extraordinary. To say no to the things of the world is extraordinary. To know what's going on is extraordinary. To see the events that are happening before our eyes and understand them is extraordinary. Because the world is blinded in an ordinary state. They are destitute. They have no hope without Christ. Acts chapter 8. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 8. In verse 1, now Saul was consenting to his death, and this was Stephen's death, an apostle of the Lord. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. They hung out. And the devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women and children and committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So the apostles were different because they had been changed from ordinary to extraordinary, even though there was so much persecution going on because they followed Jesus. And Stephen, their brother apostle, was stoned to death. And Saul, the Pharisees of the Pharisees, the religious sect, approved Stephen's stoning, and they killed him because he died for preaching Christ. Because Stephen was an ordinary man who became extraordinary because he followed Jesus. In Acts chapter 9, that man Saul that approved it and was dragging people out of homes. In verse 1, Acts 9, verse 1, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem also and put them in prison and hope to have them stoned to death. But he was traveling to Damascus on his way to Damascus on his horse. As he journeyed, verse 3, he came near Damascus and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you shall be told what you should do. In verse 10, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And so the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire of a house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. I bet he's praying.
Oh, God, what just happened?
I think I did something really bad for a long time. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord, I have heard of many things about this man and how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. In verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a what? He is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And I'll show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. God was taking an ordinary man that was a murderer and turning him to an extraordinary man. Because that's what he does. That's what he does. He takes what is ordinary and turns him into extraordinary. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So do not despise your small beginnings, my brothers and sisters. As you continue to follow, what used to be ordinary will become extraordinary in you. Oh, glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 26, would you read it with me? Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Let's start at verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is what? Wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are what? They're called. Invited. That word called means invited. What are you invited to do? You're invited to become extraordinary. That's what you're invited for. That's what you're invited for, Scott, to become extraordinary. That's what everybody's here for. You're in here not because you have to be here. You are here because you are curious. You're here because you've been drawn by God. There's just something about gathering together in God's presence. There's just something about His Word that penetrates. There's just something about truth. You have a desire to want to know the truth. And because you have a desire to want to know the truth, that's why you're here. Because you want to become extraordinary. And you may not even understand it. You may think that you're here for somebody else. You may think you're here to please yourself. You're here to please God because He wants to make you from ordinary to extraordinary so that you become, get put in service. Everybody got it? The purpose is to get put in service. God puts the extraordinary in service, not the ordinary. Oh, glory. Let's go a little further. Verse 26, let's speak it. For you see your calling, brother, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Oh, praise God. Go to 1 Samuel 17. Ordinary to extraordinary. It's amazing how many times we cry out, Lord, change me. And in the process, we say, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I really don't like how you're doing this. Can't we negotiate something here? And he has a real simple answer. No. But. Then we give him the butt syndrome. Can you imagine Noah? Think about Noah. Now here the Lord speaks to Noah and he says, Noah, I'm going to kill all mankind. Whoa. How are you going to do that? I'm going to have it rain 40 days and 40 nights. What's rain? I want you to build an ark, Noah. Okay, I'm going to flood the earth and everyone's going to die. What's an ark? God had to show him everything. Now, if Noah wasn't obedient and following, he would have built a little canoe And there ain't no elephant going to get in a canoe. That'll have been, not even his family would have gotten in there. In fact, he'd have probably been killed himself. But God spoke to Noah, and Noah followed and was obedient. He didn't compromise it. He didn't justify it. And he didn't ask the questions of, all right, I want you to build 40 cubits by this cubit. What's a cubit? Noah didn't know anything. God had to teach him everything. Does everybody understand that? He had to show him everything. Now he had to get all the animals in there. I'd like to see any one of us go around and try and get a bunch of animals into a boat. It wouldn't work. He called them in. Because Noah's obedience and completion, God fulfilled what he said he was going to do. Because Noah was an extraordinary man. Same thing with Job. He was an extraordinary man. God takes those which are ordinary and turns them into extraordinary. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, in verse 17. Is everybody there? Now Jesse said to his son David, take now your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp. And carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare and bring back news to me. Now Saul and they are all the men of Israel were at the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. In verse 22. And so David left his supplies in the hand of the supplier keeper, ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. And then as he talked with them, there was a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. So David heard something, didn't he? And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defile or defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and give him his daughter and give his father home exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his older brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and his anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the what? In other words, what are you doing here, man? You're supposed to be tending the sheep. What are you doing here? We're the army. What are you doing here? Go back there and watch the sheep. I know your pride, said his brother, and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Ooh. Verse 32. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are unable to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said, go for it. Go, and the Lord be with you. He probably grabbed a front row seat and said, I'm going to see this kid get killed. He's just some shepherd boy. You might as well make me some popcorn, and let's just have a show here. So Saul tried to clothe David with his armor stuff, and it didn't fit, because you can't not wear anybody else's armor. God has your own specific armor. You can't take somebody's extraordinary. You only have your own. In verse 42. So when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? Now dog means demon possessed. David should have said, yes, that you may come to me with sticks. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds in the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. This day I will give to the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine, to the birds of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And of course we know the end. David killed Goliath. But God took an ordinary shepherd boy out of the flock, out of the wilderness, and turned him into a warrior. He turned him into extraordinary. Does everybody get it? So many people are still looking at what they were. They're still trying to look at what they're still trying to change what they were instead of follow. See, you can't change what you were. You must follow. He changes. Only he can make ordinary to extraordinary. Only the King of Glory. Now, let me share this with you. You can turn from extraordinary to ordinary also. Because the enemy is always trying to bring you back to the ordinary state where you lose your service, your desire to serve God. That's something we must ask. Where do I serve? Where do you serve? Well, I serve my family. No. Where do you serve? What fellowship do you serve? You are, everyone here is to serve a fellowship. Everyone serves in a fellowship. That's a storehouse, isn't it? How old is the things in the storehouse going to get somewhere if somebody doesn't bring it? Amen? Everyone serves. In Judges chapter 6. Now Israel went into captivity because the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And everybody was afraid of the Amorites. In verse 11, now an angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joaz the Abizite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now let me tell you something. Gideon was not a mighty man of valor. He was a wimp. He was an ordinary man. But God turned him into a mighty warrior. See, when God speaks something, what his word says is true. Amen? What his word says is true. So when he says, I'm going to turn you from an ordinary man to an extraordinary man, he's going to. From an ordinary woman to an extraordinary woman, he's going to. That's all he's asking is your cooperation. Just like the apostles said, Jesus said, follow me. I'll turn your fishing for fish into fishing for men. Amen? And he does it all through the Bible. He did it with Gideon, David, many, many. Even Mary Magdalene, who was a prostitute, in Mark 16, took an ordinary woman. You know, people label prostitution as an individual selling their body. Amen? And this is how they supposedly make a living. But you know what? Prostitution is no different than fornication. Because they're actually selling their body for something else. It's still prostitution in the eyes of God. Because they're selling their, they're giving their body away for something they want. So everybody got it? So in the eyes of God, fornication is no different than prostitution. Hallelujah? In Mark 16... in verse 8, now, let's start up in verse 5. It says, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in long white robe sitting at the right side, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee, that you will see him. And he said to you, as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they were troubled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene out of whom he had cast seven demons out of. So Mary Magdalene was actually the first one to go out and preach the resurrection of Christ. It was a woman. He appeared to her. And she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. So here was this prostitute woman, fornicator, adulterer, whatever you want to call her, who was an ordinary woman. See, fornication is ordinary in the world today. It's okay according to the world standards. Men shacking with women and being unmarried. And of course, these days it's men with men and women with women. It's ordinary. But I'm telling you, God will take the ordinary and purify it for extraordinary. But that's what he does. He purifies. He sanctifies. Then he justifies. And he changes. But it just takes cooperation. Again, it goes back to the original state. Follow. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. That's what he says. Follow me. We must be willing to follow. Amen? He took Peter in Acts chapter 5. All glory. In verse 14, it says in Acts chapter 5, and believers were increased and added to the Lord multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Even a shadow was changing ordinary people to extraordinary. Why? Now listen, what was he doing? He was healing them. His shadow was healing them. Just the shadow of Peter was healing them. Peter was an ordinary fisherman who became an extraordinary man of God. Has everybody got it? Even the shadow of Peter. And it says in verse 16, and also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. And of course, then the high priest rose, and all those who were with them, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them into the common prison. See, let me tell you something, what begins to happen. When God begins to change you from ordinary to extraordinary, the world will try to put you into captivity. Tries to put you into captivity so that you cannot express your change. Has everybody got it? He tries to put you in captivity in the thoughts. The enemy tries to put you in captivity in fear. He tries to put you in captivity through man. I was at a meeting yesterday where a gentleman got fired from his job because he was listening to Christian music. He got fired from his job. I told him he got promoted because he suffered for Christ. The ordinary to the extraordinary. God changed Saul to Paul with signs and wonders following him. Amen. And Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. In verse 18. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are as red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Wow. So there's an area where you and I must be willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. Look, at the Lord appeared to Daniel. Daniel was praying, and what did he say? Man greatly beloved. Daniel was like, huh? He said, I have come because of your prayers or your words. From the moment that you set your heart to understand and you humbled yourself, I have come because of your words. To be humble means to deny yourself. Worship is an area of humbleness. God says, I give grace to the humble and reject the proud. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself, if you are willing and obedient, things begin to change. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Glory. In verse 9, would you speak it with me? For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid is Christ Jesus. If anyone builds on this foundation with what? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. In other words, are you doing things according to the will of God? Or are you doing things according to the will of man? So if it's according to the will of man, it will burn. There'll be no reward. For if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. So we are God's fellow workers. Amen? In other words, in this, God takes possession of us so that we who were ordinary become extraordinary. It's like taking a sock and pulling it inside out. You know, when you take a sock and pull it inside out, and you realize, oh my gosh, it's inside out. Then you pull it and you put it back the right way. But in this, when you pulled it inside out, then you find these lints and whatever might be in it and whatever. But God pulls us inside out so that he expresses himself. And it's no longer we that live, but him that lives. So that what was ordinary is now extraordinary. Oh, glory. 1 Corinthians, let's go to Psalm chapter 2. Let's go to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm 2 is just for you. Hallelujah. Verse 11 says what? Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in the Lord. Again, one of the things God is doing is changing ordinary to extraordinary to put us in service. Amen? He's to put us in service. So we're to serve with fear and rejoice in trembling. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. What does it say in verse 58? It says, 1 Corinthians 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Serving. God changes. He takes ordinary to extraordinary and puts them in service. And he does that through the anointing. Through the anointing. So that signs and wonders follow us. A sign and wonder just doesn't always mean healing, deliverance, and whatever. It means that you have left an impression with someone that you're extraordinary. But it isn't us. It's just he who's in us, isn't it? Go to Philippians 4. In verse 10. Philippians 4:10. Let's speak it. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned to in whatever state I am, to be what? Content. That's extraordinary, isn't it? I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. That's extraordinary, isn't it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, but you have what? But you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. That's extraordinary. And the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. And you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Go to verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. In other words, human, ordinary teach you. Because the anointing teaches you. The anointing is teaching you right now, not a person. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him, in the anointing. And I want to close at Mark 16. Mark 16. Ordinary to extraordinary. Just takes cooperation by follow. What are we doing? We're making an exchange. Exchange for our life for his life, our will for his will. We're constantly following. And as we're following, the exchange is being made. And by the exchanges being made, you're coming from ordinary to extraordinary. You will do things that you didn't think you could. You won't even think about how to do it. You'll just do it. Because it's no longer you that live, but he that lives in you. Amen? Because the word says that he who is in me is greater than what? Right. In Mark 16:16, he who what? He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe, and in my name they'll what? Cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Okay, one more scripture. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. These signs will follow. Glory. Why? Because you're extraordinary. You are armed and dangerous. In verse 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Is everybody there? What does it say? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. That we might what? Live through him. See, now he wants to live through you. Has everybody got it? So we are the temple of God. So we got to begin to look in this area and living from the future instead of the past, so that we change from ordinary to extraordinary. Amen? Anything God touches begins to turn from ordinary to extraordinary. Amen? Now you got to let them keep touching you so you become more and more extraordinary. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be imparted and grow, bear fruit for your glory. You said, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. Lord, grant us the eyes to see what you see us as, and not what we see ourselves as, or as what man sees us as. Because you said that you've made us extraordinary. So, Lord, let these extraordinary people of God raise up and declare your truth, your will, and your promises in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.